Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, and we'll be looking at the first five verses. Matthew 18, 1 through 5. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto them, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive such a little child in my name, receiveth me." Once again, good morning. Glad to have you here with us. As always, it is a glorious day where we have afforded to us an opportunity where we can worship God in the way that He commands on the day that He has assigned for us. So I'm glad that you're here. I know that God is pleased that you're here as well. Thank you for watching us online. Please come be with us any chance that you have an opportunity to do so. Tonight we will be live at 5. We're going to look at the story of Josiah there in the second book of Chronicles and the need for restoration. We're going to figure out why things need to be restored and things along that line. So we'll do that tonight live at 5 there online. So we hope you can join us for that. This morning, I want us to talk about something that, although is a very worthwhile and worthy of our attention this morning topic, I feel like sometimes it may be overlooked. And it may be overlooked simply for the fact that people don't think about it. It's not that people are trying to blatantly not mention it, but I feel sometimes it just kind of, things go unnoticed, things go done, but unnoticed, and so maybe attention's not brought to them. So this morning, I want us to talk about how there is greatness in the menial. Now, what is menial? What does that word mean? If you were to look that up in a dictionary, it means not requiring much skill or a lack of prestige. So something that is menial, it is a menial task. It is just, you don't have to be exceptionally skilled to do it. And usually when you do something like that, you don't get a trophy. They don't put your name in the paper for doing it. For instance, a menial task that you may have done this morning or may need to do this afternoon is bag up the trash and either go out and burn it, put it in the back of the truck, whatever. That's really doesn't require much effort at all. You're going to tie the bag, or if you do the little twist ties, you can do that. And then you put it in a new place and you put the new bag in, you put a lid on. And nobody goes, "Oh man, I can't believe that is the best time somebody's ever put a trash can, a trash bag in." Nobody does that. Why? It's a menial job, but it needs to be done. You know, God calls us often to serve in what we may call thankless tasks, or tasks where people don't thank us. It's not that they're necessarily lowly, although some of them are, but you think about it. When we were having fellowship meals, somebody's got to clean the tables after and clean the chairs and bag up that trash. Somebody's got to care for the grounds. The cemetery needs to be well maintained. People need to check the wiring every now and then, service the equipment. When we are blessed to immerse somebody into Christ, well, they have the garments that they had on. They have those towels that they dried them off with, and they leave them here, and then somebody's got to clean them so they'll be ready for the next time. Somebody's got to sweep. Somebody's got to mop. So all these are menial tasks, but they're very important, and they must be done in the Lord's church. But there are some people who simply just won't do these things because there is no prestige. There are people, sadly, even in the Lord's church, and they go, "Well, if I can't be seen doing it, if I can't have people pat me on the back and say, 'Thanks for doing that. You did a wonderful job,' then they won't serve, friends," and that's the wrong attitude to have. This morning, I want us to point out some reasons why we should get involved in the menial things, in the things that we can do that don't really require a whole lot of extra skill, just the natural God-given abilities that we have. There are three of them. And the first one this morning is a reason for us to get involved in menial tasks is because of our love for Jesus. We need to get involved in the simple things. Now, I need to say before we move any further, it is important when we go out and we door knock or maybe in the COVID-19 world, we call somebody and say, hey, we'd love for you to come worship with us. We stream services online. Can I send you a card? Can I bring you something? There's need for that. There's need for evangelism, but there's need for smaller things as well. And we do it first off because of our love for Jesus. Go with me to Mark chapter 14, if you will. Mark, the 14th chapter. I want us to go to a city called Bethany. There's a man's house. His name is Simon. He's a leper, or has been a leper, as the case may be. And I want you to notice here, and I feel you're familiar with this passage, but look at the love for Jesus here in Mark 14. We'll begin in verse 1 and we'll wind up in verse 9. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover of the unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him, that's Jesus, by craft, and how they might put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. See, this is towards the end of the life of Christ before he is killed, and so they're conspiring, but they say, we can't do it on the feast day or the people will revolt against us. Verse 3, so he's being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, Jesus sat at meat. And there came a woman. Now, another gospel account calls her name Mary. But Mark just says there becomes a woman up, and she has an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard that is very precious. And she broke it on the box, and she poured it on the head of Christ. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was there this waste of this ointment? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor always with you. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But ye do not have me always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done will be spoken of for a memorial of her. Now really, although it's a very costly ointment, you're looking at least maybe a year's salary, depending on what you did, but that's not really important. It's just an important, it's very expensive ointment, oil that she just pours on him. But notice verse 8, she's done what she could. She did what she could. Why? Because of a love for Jesus. Now, another gospel account will tell us that that's Judas that's wondering about the money, because Judas is trying to take the attention off of the situation at hand, because he knows that he's about to betray Christ. But he says, Jesus says, she's anointed my body for the burying. You can go visit the sick any day of the week, but I'm not going to be here forever. Notice her initiative. Notice her devotion. She's willing to spend all this money to perform a menial act of just pouring this on Christ, to anoint him, if you will. That's true love for Jesus that Mary had for him. But go with me over to the 16th chapter of Mark. Let's go from Bethany. Let's go to the resurrection morning. A glorious morning. That first day of the week where Christ had been killed on Friday, about 3 o'clock. They put him in the tomb. He was there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sunday morning, he rose from the dead. Notice this, Mark 16, 1 through 3. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come to anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away this stone from the door of the sepulcher? Notice the initiative. They saw something that they could do. So they did it. See, on the Sabbath day, you really didn't crucify people. And you, if somebody died on the Sabbath, you really tried not to prepare the body, because when you came in contact with a dead body, you became unclean till sundown. And then the new day would start. So you wouldn't want to become ceremonially unclean on the Lord's day. So they wouldn't try to do anything. They wouldn't try to deal with death on the Sabbath. So when Christ dies, they almost as if it's hurriedly wrap him up. And they put him in the tomb. Because the day starts at sunset. So these wonderful ladies, they probably got together and they thought, you know what? We need to properly prepare that body of Jesus for burial. Put these spices in it the way that they would bury them then. So they saw a task and they did it. And notice their devotion. When did they go? Before the sun was rising. It was almost as if that was the first thing that they really did on Sunday, on the first day of the week. This was their friend. And he needed something, so they provided for it. That's a menial task, but I'm glad they did. One more thing I want us to think about when we talk about our love for Jesus in Matthew 25:40, and then we'll move on to our second point. But we should do things for the menial. Think about this, Matthew 25:40. Service that is rendered to brethren is service that's rendered to Christ. Did you ever stop and think about that? The sometimes menial task that we do to help our brothers and sisters in Christ, well, when we're doing that, we're really serving Christ in that. Watch what Jesus says, Matthew 25:40. And the king answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it to the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now there's that great passage where he says, I was hungry and you didn't feed me, and I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink, I was naked, you didn't clothe me, I was in prison, and you didn't come visit me, I was sick, you didn't help me. And they said, well, Lord, when did we see you thirsty? When did we see you hungry? When were you in prison? They say all these things, and then that's where this comes in. He says, you didn't help your fellow brothers or sisters when they were in this predicament, these predicaments, so it's like you didn't do it to me. When we love Jesus, we will therefore love our brethren, and we will want to assist them in the task that they need done. One of the best ways you can serve the Lord is being a good fellow brother or sister in Christ, helping out your fellow brother or sister when they need something. Maybe they need a meal. Maybe all they need is somebody to talk to. You can serve Christ in that avenue. Why should we do menial things? How is there greatness? When we have love for Jesus, that should motivate us. Our second thing that should motivate us this morning is the fact that we can develop greatness. Because as the sermon title says, there is greatness in the menial. So we can develop greatness. Perhaps you've never thought about all the work that goes into us just being able to be here on Sunday morning. Everything needs to be in a decent shape, an orderly shape. I'm not knocking you, but I'm saying we've got to have certain things, certain ways. We need to have the communion cups available back there. We need to have the offering tray in a certain place so we can find it. The bulletin's got to be done and proofread and typed and folded and brought here. And the electricity's got to be paid. And we've got to keep up on the accounting and all this so that all the bills get paid. There's really a lot that goes in to us just being able to come here and worship. And I'm not trying to detract from the fact of worship. That's why we come here. But sometimes we need to realize that there is greatness in this. What am I getting at? Go back with me to Mark chapter 10, because there's greatness in our service. There is greatness in our service. Mark chapter 10, 43 through 45. Mark 10. 43 through 45, the path of greatness lies through a life of service. But so shall it not be among you, Jesus says. But whomsoever will be great among you, he shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest, he shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. A minister is just another word for a servant, really. And so Jesus says, if we want to be great, we need to minister unto people. I'm not just talking about the role of the minister, but we can minister to one another's needs. You have a family member who's sick and you are by their bedside providing food and Kleenex, whatever, companionship. You are ministering to their needs. Nurses do that. Doctors do that. We need to minister. We need to be servants. But let's see how Jesus also puts it in John chapter 13. Verses 14 through 16. If we want to be great, Jesus gave us a great example, a wonderful example. John chapter 13, 14 through 16. says, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am." Verse 14, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than him that sent him." What's happened? They're in the house of Simon. And when you would travel then, they didn't wear Converse or Nike shoes. They wore sandals. And they're dusty. I mean, they had roads. In fact, the Roman Empire put in some great roads that helped the gospel expand. But out there in the desert, you would get sand in your feet, on your feet, sand between your toes. It was customary if you were coming in somebody's house that either the master of the house or one of his servants, when you came in, they would have like a little seat and a basin of water, and they would wash your feet. It wasn't like with soap, but they would literally just get the dust off so you don't bring that in their house. It's also just a way of showing respect. Well, that didn't happen here. So while they're talking, Christ gets down and puts the towel around himself and he starts washing his disciples' feet. It's a menial task. But he's showing them as an example that you take care of the needs of everyone else, even if somebody else didn't do it when they should have. Take care of those simple tasks. Now, he's not literally saying we have to wash feet when we come in, although there are some people religiously that say you have to do that. He says it's an example. Take care of the needs of others. Friends, only the humble will be great in God's kingdom. Think about this. They have God incarnate. They have God in the flesh, Jesus the Christ, the perfect Son of God. And what is he doing? He is bending over, knelt down with a towel around himself, cleaning their feet. When really they should be praising him. Humility is what makes us great in God's kingdom. And friends, the field of service is wide open. There are many things that we can do to serve. So why should we do the menial things? Because of our love for Jesus. Because there's greatness in it. Then finally this morning, because there's a reward in heaven. There is a reward in heaven. We won't read it, but we've already mentioned Mark 14. Remember when Mary broke the alabaster box at the very end, he said, "And wherever and whenever the gospel is preached, this will be spoken of her as a memorial." Congratulations, that scripture is being fulfilled this very morning within your ears. Why? Because we are talking about what she did. That was almost 2,000 years ago, and yet we're still remembering that greatness that Christ brought it to a point and said, "This will happen." Friends, there is a reward in heaven for us. Go with me to Mark chapter 12, if you don't mind. Mark 12, 41, and then we'll go through 44. That's the story of the widow and her mites, if you're familiar with that story. And even if you are, we're still going to read it anyways. Mark 12, 41 through 44. "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how people cast money into the treasury. And they that are rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said, Verily I say unto you, this poor widow hath cast in more than they which have cast in the treasury, for they cast into their abundance, but she of her want," Luke says penury, "did cast in all that she had, even all her living." As it would happen then, they didn't really have a collection plate for their treasury as we do today. They had a big metal box, almost as it was, with a little spout on the top, and you would put your money in, and it had a lot of different bends and curves in that pipe, and then it went down into a secured, locked location so people couldn't steal from the treasury. Now, what these rich men would do is they would pay all their bills, and then let's say after they've paid all their bills, they have $100 left over, after they've paid everything, after they've eaten, bought groceries, and then they would go to the bank, or their form of the bank, and they'd take that $100, and more or less they'd say, "I would like $100 in pennies, please." And the teller would give that. Then they'd go to the treasury, and a few at a time, they put some money in. And if you've ever put a coin on in like a metal container, it makes a noise, right? So they would put in a few, and they'd go ching, 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 and then they'd put in more, and they were doing that to be seen. They're making this long show, however much it was. They were trying to put in as many coins as possible after they paid everything else. And then you have, in stark contrast, this poor widow who walks up, and these two small coins, because I've got some at the house, they're together worth 1/16 of a cent. So that's not a lot. And she goes up and goes, chink, chink. That's it. The creator of the universe, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, praises the widow. There's a reward. She cast in all she had. She gave what she had, not of her abundance, friends. What can we expect in heaven if we're faithful? Even in the small things. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 6 for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 6 and the 10th verse, please. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. What can we expect in heaven, even in the small things? God is not unrighteous to what? Forget. What's the Hebrew writer telling us? God sees the menial work, that the menial task that you have done, and He remembers them. And He is appreciative of the big things and the small things that you have done. You familiar with the story of the parable of talents in Matthew 25? When the five-talent man doubled his money in Matthew 25 and 21, the master says, well done. And when the two-talent man, two verses later in verse 23, doubles his two talents and brings four, he's also told, well done. And so it's implied, therefore, that if the one-talent man would have doubled his, he would have also been told, well done, but he hid his. Friends, we can be told, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, Jesus Christ said, you've been faithful in little, I'll make you faithful over much. Friends, I want you to notice this, as this is our final point, and then we will offer the conclusion and invitation. You are responsible for what you have, not what you don't have. You and I, we are both responsible to serve the Lord with what we have. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42. I'll show you something that's a menial task. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42, and I feel you're familiar with this passage. Notice what Jesus says. And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, only in my name, only in the name of the disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Jesus says, if all you have, and all you can do is give a cup of water in my name, there's a reward in that because that's all you have. Notice he didn't say a gallon of water or a never-ending supply. He says if you have one cup of water and you can give one cup of water, you've got a reward. Well, go with me to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12. Here we see it's according to something. It's according to what a man has. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. We're not going to be judged on what we don't have. But I tell you what, you better be sure we'll be judged on what we do have. Can we use what God's given us? Let's see how Peter put it in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. He's going to kind of give us a good little description here. 1 Peter 4 and 11. It doesn't matter. He says, if any man speak, well, then let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, then let him do it, watch this, as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We've already talked about that word ministering, to be a servant, to help one another. How does Peter put it? Well, let him minister according to the ability he's allowed to minister. If all you can do is a cup of water, then do that. But if you can do more, then brethren, we're supposed to do that. And then finally, 1 Corinthians 15:58, one of my favorite verses in the entire book. Paul sums up this chapter. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, watch this. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What are you saying there, Paul? Paul says, keep doing what you're doing. Don't be swayed one way or another, because even the menial tasks that you're doing in the service of the Lord, they're not in vain. And the great tasks that you're doing for the Lord, they're not in vain either. And you may go, well, that's great, Paul, but you know, I invited 50 people to come to church with me this Sunday, and one person said they might, and the rest didn't even answer my phone call. It's okay, you're planting seed. You're planting seed. You're cultivating the crop for God. We should want to do these menial tasks because there is a reward in heaven. I want to encourage you to use whatever abilities you have. Find a way to serve the Lord. And I tell you what, the year it's been, there's a lot of people hungry for the truth. Now, they may not come right out and say that, but they're wanting something that is constant. They're wanting something that is beyond this temporal, physical life with its pain and with its sadness and with its sickness. Maybe you can help point them to God. I'm not saying you have to stand before them and hold your Bible in one hand, a hand in the other, and preach a sermon to them. But boy, you sure can have a conversation. It's real easy. Friends, do work out of love and devotion for Jesus. Develop true greatness and do it knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I hope the goal of this lesson is to motivate you to continue serving for Christ. And if you haven't been serving for Christ, do that. But this lesson should also motivate you to realize that there is a great life of service for a Christian. And if you have not obeyed the gospel, we would love to assist you in that endeavor this morning. You do that by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, go down that watery grave, come up a new creature alive in Christ. If you've not done that this morning, why not come forward? We would love to assist you in that. Maybe you have. Keep going, remaining faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10, receiving that crown of life when it's all said and done. If you're not being faithful, why not come back? We would love to assist you, pray with you and for you, and leave this building in a right relationship with the Lord. If we can help you in any way at all, whatever your need is this morning, please let it be known while we stand.